Those are both very fitting words for us to hear at this time. Very amazing that God has given us so many words in the Scriptures that will help us keep our eyes fixed on good things. As I find my place in Philippians, I'm going to start. Mostly I'll be in Philippians chapter 4, but I will tap on also the gospel reading, which is really in line with our kids' spot too. There's so many things about this Philippians 4 reading that is just remarkable. So good for us to keep our perspective and to think about things that are good on an ongoing basis. And so as we start this Philippians reading, I'm going to pray for us that God will reveal his truth as we think through these readings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it not only we can hear it, but it can actually do a great work in our spirit and our soul, and it can change hearts and feelings and minds. And so we pray that as we come to the scripture today, we won't scrutinize it, but rather it will scrutinize us. And that we will yield to the things that it calls us to do and be, and that the hope that comes from it will be ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord is one of the things that Paul says in this particular passage. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, friends, even today. Today, when we would actually love to be rejoicing with everyone in church, just imagine the 140 of us gathered here, the 30 or 40 kids at the front of the church. I would rather rejoice in that way. But because of the hope we have in the Lord, we can actually rejoice wherever we are. And Paul, in other parts of his letters, say that all sorts of bad things are happening to him, but nonetheless, he can still praise God. He can still sing. He can still rejoice. And so, friends, I pray that we, like Paul, will have a spirit that is rejoicing in the Lord. Why would we rejoice? Well, I think one reason why we can rejoice is that it says in verse 5, the Lord is near. So one of the greatest reasons we can always be rejoicing, no matter where we are or what we are doing, whether our things in our life are going good or tough, is that the Lord is near. Because of that, we can actually heed Paul's instruction here about not being anxious about anything. Not being anxious about anything. That doesn't mean that things aren't tough. That doesn't mean that things are actually at times terrifying. But we can cast our anxiety on to Jesus. That's why we don't have to actually hold on to that anxiety all the time. Because in everything we can pray. There is always somewhere for us to turn. There is always someone to listen to us. And we're told in this reading that God is near. So that is one of the great remedies for anxiety, knowing that the Lord is near. By prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I find that so helpful. Sometimes we pray because we've got a list of things that we want or feel that we need. But this particular verse, it also says with thanksgiving, because that reshapes us to be thinking about the things we do have. Like, isn't it awesome that we're part of a church where we do care about each other? And we're in a country that does have a great government. No matter which side of politics you're on, we have many good things to give thanks for. And in fact, who we should be giving thanks for all of the good things in life is God. And so we can always have thanksgiving even amidst turbulence. But giving thanks also just reframes our mind, because if all we focus on is the bad, then life will seem really, really dreary. And it will seem really, really hard. But there are so many good things. Like even if you walk down the road, you can see roses, right? Sometimes you see kangaroo poo around at the moment in Bendigo because there's plenty of that around, right? But there's so many things if we take a step back from TVs and Twitters and Facebooks and social medias. There are still plenty of things to give thanks for. And that will balance us in a time that is turbulent. Verse 7 of that reading says that as we pray about everything and give thanks, that the peace of God will be with you. And friends, this is one of the things that Christians can have, no matter what comes our way, a deep peace, knowing that God is with us today, tomorrow, and the rest of our life, and into eternity. So there is an anchor point that gives us real stability, knowing that we are in God's hands, come what may. That is so awesome for us to have. And we can know that through our prayer, as our anxiety is cast on Him, that we can have peace, which it says it transcends all understanding. We know full well that sometimes it doesn't make sense how we can have peace, even in really turbulent times. It transcends understanding, but nonetheless, we can have it. We can have this peace that goes over circumstances that we may not like. And I love also at the end here that He will guard our hearts and our minds. I do want to encourage you to guard your heart and your mind. One way we can do that is continually put in the good. And that's what the next thing that Paul says in this letter. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As we do think about good things, that will help guard our heart and mind. Great good things to be thinking about here. This, as we read the scriptures and those things that will uplift us, it will help our minds and hearts be guarded. So I want to encourage you, friends, to be watching your TV, but not leaving your TV on. We need to take serious the different messages that are put out there. We need to know what the government says. But I want to encourage you not to have it on 24-hour cycle, or you will go mad. You will go mad, and you will worry, and you will not go anywhere ever. Now, we do need to listen to our government and be sensible. So watch enough to know how serious it is, and then fill your mind with things that are good. Read a book. Call a friend. Write a letter. Fill your mind with those things. So on the one hand, know how serious it is, and on the other, fill your minds and hearts with things that will keep you looking for the good in life and the good in God. Paul finishes this little section. Whatever you've learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Earlier in the passage we heard that the peace of God will be with you, but even better here, more than God's peace, is that we're told here that the God of peace will be with you. Now, I was going to go off and talk now about the winds and the waves, but I think I've done enough. So I'm going to pray for us now and commit our lives again afresh today into God's hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you that we can rejoice this day, that we have songs that we can sing in our hearts and together. We thank you that we can pray to you. We thank you that we can give thanks for things that are good. We thank you that you're a God who loves to hear your people pray, and that we don't need to wonder whether you've heard. As we present our prayers to you, praying for ourselves and for others in our community, we pray that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, that's the end of my sermon, but it's not the end of my talking, because I do actually think, friends, this is our time to shine as a church. If we have this peace that God has given, if we can be calm, because Jesus is calm, like he was in that boat. He was calm, even though everything was out of control. We can be shining at this time. Some people were wondering whether we haven't got enough faith because we're meeting in church. And what I wanted to say this is this. We actually are sensible all the time in life. I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't own a fridge. We are sensible by putting our food in the fridge because we know if we don't, we'll get sick. So at this point, right, we don't say we haven't got enough faith because we use a refrigerator, do we? We don't, okay? So now that it's becoming evident about this virus, as we're following the guidelines that are given by our government and others, we're actually using common sense. Faith is knowing that whatever does come our way, we can trust that God has us. That's where our faith comes into it. It doesn't make us immune. It doesn't. So we can be really sensible about our trust in God and listen to the advice we're given by others. It's our time to shine as a church because we can love one another. Let's be connected to each other in the church. It's also our time to shine by loving our neighbours. So if it's safe for us to be connecting with our neighbours and those in our streets, we'll be talking about more of that down the track. And this is the time also for us to be loving our enemies, people who we might normally have held at bay. Well, don't do that anymore. I heard of one story where these people have been really angry at a lady since they were little, because the lady stole their ball or something like that when they were little kids. And so they hadn't liked this lady across the road for 20 years. Well, they put that grudge or that offence aside, and they're starting to care even for the enemies or the neighbours who are grumpy, which is just good. As we're able, let's look out for the needs of others, and let's not close ourselves off as far as just protecting ourselves. Now's not the time for us to hoard our energy or our care or toilet paper. I had to say that somewhere. As a church and as a group of people, as a city, we've got to be in this together, right? In it together.